Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural, show 161. My name is Laurent Borgmann and I will be the host of this show. Today, our entire show will give you an insight into an intercultural seminar that took place at Rhein A campus last week. This annual seminar is called Managing Cultural Diversity, and the focus this year was on corporate social responsibility. It attracted lecturers from 8 and students from 16 different nationalities. You can imagine, this is my idea of intercultural heaven. In our first category, Absolutely Ethical, Nadia describes an experience where she was surprised how a manager can be so full of himself.
He was always saying, I, and then we got the idea right away. Because he was talking about himself, his decision, he's at the top, and he's telling the rest of the team what to do.
In our second category, absolutely similar, Adelheid stresses that personal and real contacts with other cultures often make us notice the similarities rather than the differences.
Once you realize that you have certain ideas, prejudices, kind of stereotypes about different countries or people from those countries, and you suddenly realize that they have more in common with me than separates us.
In our third category, absolutely simulated, Omar shares how he pretended to be a very hierarchical and dominant president of a company.
Like the company president. So I had to pretend to be listening to all their views. And at the end, I told them, I choose this. And they started arguing with me. We didn't discuss this. And I told them, no, I think this is for the best of the company.
And in our last category, absolutely emotional, Lucas tells us about the feelings the participants of the seminar had during the intercultural card game.
They had negative emotions such as angry, confusedness, disappointment, something like that. I felt disappointment too because I want to win, but I couldn't do that.
Now let us start with a show. Have you ever taken part in an intercultural seminar yourself? Is it enough to learn about the relevant academic theories of Hofstede and Hall to make it into a success? Nadia, one of the organizers of the seminar Managing Cultural Diversity at Rhein A campus, is giving us a kind of recipe how to create a great intercultural event for all.
I was amazed how many representatives of different countries were present and were participating in the seminar. I was trying to count. There was 16 different countries, and that was a pleasant atmosphere. We had several tea breaks, we had the theater performance, and that was always interactive. I've managed to talk to very many different people, and then this cozy dinner in a very traditional German restaurant, I believe, by the end of the seminar, that was such a harmonious atmosphere, which everybody did enjoy.
Well, yes, students and lecturers seem to enjoy the colorful mix of activities in an unusually international learning environment. But let us zoom in for you, so you get a closer view. In our category, absolutely similar, Adelheid Korb tells us what she thought about Dr. Anna Potter's workshop.
Her topic was social responsibility in television, and she started off by making us look at Australian television. And she then explained about a new initiative by one of the television companies to talk about immigrants. So we had to devise television program that we would be able to sell to a television company. So we had to be extremely specific about and the budget, when the program would go out. Okay. And so it was all highly creative. And this was the last workshop of the three-day seminar. And I was absolutely amazed how creative students were at a Sunday lunchtime. They came up with some really brilliant ideas.
So the lecturers give a little bit of academic input at the beginning, and then the students get a task. Was that how the whole seminar worked?
This is typical for all the different workshops. For example, we had a representative of a global logistics company, which was quite appreciated, so we didn't only have the view of academics on this particular topic, but we also had somebody from business.
I heard that there was also room for playing cards. Was that an entertainment in between?
It's an intercultural game, and more or less at the end of the card game, students realize that what they've just experienced was letting themselves into a different culture, because the rules were changing all the time, and students were asked to sort of look at their behavior when they entered a different culture with different rules. And it's ever so interesting to watch the students, how they react, because at first they simply assume it's just a card game, and then they become more and more involved, and how students react, and lecturers. The lecturers took part in this game as well. So there is no distinction between who is a student and who is a lecturer, because they're all working on the same problem, contribute ideas
So it's more like a learning community. That's where the lecturers and the students come together. Do you think that there is a potential in this seminar that people might really challenge their own attitudes?
I would hope so. As symbolized by the card game, once you realize that you have certain ideas, prejudices, kind of stereotypes about different countries or people from those countries, and you suddenly realize that they have more in common with me than separates us. And if that's what students and lecturers take home, then I think we've been so successful.
Well, I think Adelheid has a good point here. And later in the show, we are going to listen to Lukas, one of the student participants, who explains which intercultural strategies he actually learned during this card game. But first, in our category Absolutely Ethical, let us turn to Nadia Kokareva, who wanted to comment on Carla Pedroso de Lima's workshop with a provocative title, Can a Business Really Be Ethical?
I found it especially interesting, this discussion about Google being ethical and how it faced the problem of different understanding of ethics in Europe, in America, in China. And that had pretty heavy consequences for them. They were made to compromise by the government because everything is so censored and controlled. And that was actually a very, very serious conflict for them because that contradicted the whole mission of them. They declared that they would like to share all the information to make it available for everybody. Mm-hmm. And in China, that's not the case. I believe if they declare that the mission is actually not to make profit, but to share the information, and they truly devote themselves to that goal, then they shouldn't make any compromises. That's my personal opinion, probably a bit idealistic. I was shocked when I realized that actually it's a monopoly, it's a pure monopoly. Any question I have, I ask Google. And the question which we actually were interested about, are they still in China? We again went to Google and thought, if they don't want us to know that, we would never know that. But the problem is that they can control us, literally. They can control what we think, what we believe, what we know. We have played a game. Several groups of participants, we got the description of the way we are doing the business, and we had to simulate. We had to solve several problems and then perform, and the rest of the participants, they should guess what kind of governance that was. It was very interesting and very tricky because some of them are very mixed. And for instance, in my team, we were playing a feminine role. We were trying to avoid risks. We were trying to use convincing strategies. We were trying to avoid very rash decisions and mostly think about the employees. So always collaborating, motivating, no direct orders, but mostly just team spirit, teamwork.
And what did the more masculine cultures sound like? How were they presenting their results?
Oh, the team did very well. The presenter while presenting the results of their discussion, I believe that was on purpose. He was always saying, I, and then we got the idea right away. Because he was talking about himself, his decision, he's at the top, and he's telling the rest of the team what to do. So that was the simplest case to guess.
In the last part, Nadia was referring to Anne Berg's workshop with the title Cultural Difference in Corporate Governance, where the participants first learned about E.T. Hall's intercultural categories, such as power distance, uncertainty avoidance, and masculinity in leadership. And afterwards, the participants received a case study where they could try their hands at the different types of governance. In our next category, Absolutely Simulated, Oma Jubran comes back to Carla's workshop on ethics and Anna's workshop on governance and explains the difference between morality and ethics. Then he goes on to explain how he tried to play the dominant masculine CEO with a very high power distance in Anne's roleplay. Yes, you've guessed right. He is the student who actually played the manager that Nadia was referring to earlier.
A very important question is there something called like a global ethics? We have learned that there is morality, which is related to a culture, and there is ethics, which is supposed to be global. So before asking whether a company can be ethical, we should ask if there is something as called ethical. So, for example, when you have a multinational company, the company can be moral in one country, but can be immoral in other countries. So this raises which aspects should we take to define if this company is ethical or not? I think Google have faced such a problem because Google has their ethics is all about giving knowledge to people, and in some countries they were able to do that. There were no restrictions, but in other countries like Asian countries, mostly China, they were banned from doing this. Okay. So this raised like a little question that what is ethical in terms of Google? Is restricting their services in China really ethical? What should Google do in these situations? These were like things that you should think about because they're not simple right or wrong answers. They're more of a perspective questions that from each perspective you find it's wrong or right. There are two ways to look at it. You can say that Google is trying to give some information in China, so they should give a little compromise, that they are helping, however they are censored, but they are a little bit helping. But what I think is that Google should take a stand. It's either everything or nothing. You can't just give some information. Your goal is your ethics, your global ethic is to give all information. So you either give it or refrain from it. And I think that would put some pressure actually on the Chinese government. Like if this is going to form some pressure, so we might just allow them. So this is what I think. This is how I see it. But as I said, you can see it from different perspectives. What I worked on was a company, like the project that I made was a company with high power distance. That means that in this company the manager decides everything. It's very power centric. There's only one source of decisions. It was very interesting to take that part. I was like the company president, so I had to pretend to be listening to all their views, and at the end I told them, I choose this, and they started arguing with me, we didn't discuss this, and I told them, no, I think this is for the best of the company. And this was like very interesting to go against what you want, but just to live the role of a high power distance company. I tried to make it very obvious that it was a high power distance company, so I used the word I a lot. Usually in companies you don't do that, usually you use we, but I also always said I saw this was the best for the company, I did this, I chose this, and this was what raised like questions. I tried to stress on the I, so I would show people that yes, I chose this. I think that the seminar was very diverse. There were many different activities, each session was different, and they were all talking about the same topic but from different aspects. So
I swear, Omar was so convincing in the roleplay that some people in the seminar who did not know him personally thought he was being himself rather than playing the role of a dominant CEO. Either he's a very gifted actor or he really jumped at the opportunity to try out a new role and played to the rules that were prescribed in the role play. In our last category, absolutely emotional, I asked Lukas to describe the layout of the intercultural card game called Banga, which the participants of the seminar played and which caused quite a bit of emotion around the room.
Yeah, it was quite a funny game. We gained the rules on the sheet of papers, we read it, and after that we played very well in our table. Everybody understood what to do. We had different five tables. Each table had a number. On each table there are from 4 to 6 players. If you want to win a game, you need to collect more cards than another's. And if you win, you are going to the next table, the higher number. For example, I was sitting at table number 2. I won once and I went for the next table, number 3. And the loser go down one table back, for example, from second table till the first. I have been winner of my table and I won mostly of match. I was so happy. You know, it's something like you want to move forward. If you win, you can go to another table and play with other persons. So I thought it's very nice. It's going to be like I'm going to know more people. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we can't use our verbal communication. So when I went to another table, I start playing and I recognize that something is different. I put the highest card and suddenly I lost the game. It was okay. So weird for me. And, you know, what's happening? I didn't understand. I tried to observe a game and find out what we're playing in different way. I can't understand why can't we understand the simple rules. We studied at our table so much and still we can.
Okay, so at the end of each round, then the winners were going one table up to a better table, to a higher table. So you had moved up to the higher table, and at that table you suddenly started losing?
Yeah, at the beginning of the game I started losing, but after some time of observation I found out that we're playing in different rules. I find out how to play and won again. It was really amazing, you know. Okay. It's something like I played with different rules, I get adapted to them and I won. Mm-hmm. And I went to another table, but it was something different. When I start, I was really confused. The rules changed again. I can't understand why it happened. I tried to observe them, but to be honest, it was too difficult for me. Probably I had already too much rules in my head.
Okay. Did you think that the others had not understood the rules? Or did you think they were cheating on you?
Probably they don't understood, because why do we need to cheat?
Okay. In the end, you went back to your original table. Was that a little bit like a homecoming, like coming home?
It's something like I came back home, yes. Already when we came back to the home table, we greet each other. After that, we played, but I were a little worried about it. Maybe we changed the rules. Maybe I misunderstand it. It was something really confusing, but after the first game, I found out that the rules is the same like before. It's like I felt delighted.
You were happy to be home at your home table again. So what happened at the end of the game then, when the whole game was over?
At the end of the game, we go out of the room and made a circle. We talked together. What do we feel when we move forward or back? So we talked what we felt. And mostly people said that they had negative emotions such as angry, confusedness, disappointment, something like that. I felt disappointment too because I want to win, but I couldn't do that. After some time, the host of the game said that he just gave us different rules. That's why it was difficult for newcomers to win a game.
So, in fact, in the end, it turned out that there were different rules at different tables?
We found out that it was slight different rules. Mm-hmm. It's really just slight difference, but we didn't understand it. We played with the same cards and still it happened.
So the different tables had different rules. And so it was as if every table had a different culture. Did that remind you at all of going to different cultures in the real world?
Yes, it is really true. I thought, you know your own rules, but when you go to another country, you need to observe them to find out what they are doing differently so you can get adapted. If you get adapted, you can win. But if you don't, you're just getting deeper and deeper. You feel worse and worse.
Can you give an example where you have gone to a different culture and you found that the rules were slightly different?
I've been in Thailand at my holidays time, and I liked one children very much, so I wanted to say goodbye and put my hand on his head. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately in Thailand it's not allowed. I've been thinking, why is it? Maybe he don't like his touch, what I'm touching him or something. After some weeks I find out that you shouldn't touch the Thai children's heads.
This sounds like a memorable intercultural learning process for Lucas. In the game, he learned that it helps to expect different rules every time he came to a new table. And if he wanted to get things right at the new table, he needed some time of careful intercultural observation before he could act successfully. As he pointed out, the same effort of cultural sensitivity is needed when you go to a different culture like Asia or Africa. We are keeping our fingers crossed for Lucas that he will have many opportunities in life to try out his new intercultural strategies in an absolutely foreign culture. But now we come to the end of the show. I hope you did not mind me taking you to a classroom today. Believe me, those who were present had a lot of fun discovering and trying out new strategies for intercultural interaction. I've put a link to the pictures of the seminar on our Facebook page. If you have suggestions or good ideas, please don't hesitate to contact us at absolutely-intercultural.com or on our Facebook page and leave a comment. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in the new year on the 4th of January. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.